Today on Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll.
As the world witnesses the love of the believer for another one, and knowing there had to be some forgiveness and understanding and give and take, the world says, I've never seen that before. When the world witnesses the hatred, it's just like the world. Retaliation is the name of the game in the world without Christ. So John pauses at this moment in his letter and says, Beloved, love one another.
In the last season of his life, the Apostle John wrote a New Testament book while his personal friendship with Jesus was still fresh on his mind. He undoubtedly remembered that tender moment in the upper room when he was privileged to have his feet washed by the Savior. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll is teaching from 1 John chapter 2. It's a passage that radiates John's intense passion for walking with Jesus. We're learning that those who walk in the light bear a mark that distinguishes them from everyone else. Chuck refers to that mark as the believer's badge.
John can still remember the water between his toes, a soft towel wrapped around his feet, and the look of Jesus as he, from a kneeling position, looked up into the face of the disciple. John remembers it. After all these years, he remembers Jesus calling us little children, you who don't wash your own feet, you who don't wash anyone else's feet, learn from this. I do this as an example. Verse 34, I give you a new command, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, some of you are wrestling with this saying, well, wait a minute, I thought it was an old commandment. Remember, love your neighbor as yourself. We'll look at it in a moment. But he calls it a new commandment. How could it be old and new? The old one is the old Mosaic commandment, which is a duty. And you do this as you love yourself. It's about how much you love yourself, you love others. So yourself becomes the standard. But this is new. This is a Christ-like love, agape love, that doesn't wait for the response of another, doesn't need another's response. This is a love one-directional, doing what is best for the other person. It's a sacrificial love. It is a love that has no limits and no selfishness. The standard in this case is Christ himself. All of this was in John's mind as he took up his pen to write this first letter. 1 John chapter 2, Beloved, I have something for you to remember. How important it is to remember, just as John vividly remembered. First of all, it's an old but ever relevant command. It's an old but ever relevant command. Verse 7, Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Hold here and go back to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Here it is. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, and you are to keep my statutes. Now, back to 1 John 2, 7. That's why it's an old command. But John's twist is a new touch on it. Just as my life was impacted there that night around the table with the other disciples, and the Savior had washed our feet and told us a new command, so I'm giving you a new commandment. Based on the old one, but that was out of duty, this one is a Christ life being lived out and enabled by the Holy Spirit, where he is the standard, not yourself. So it's an old but ever relevant command. Next verse, verse 8. It's also a new and Christ-related command. See? On the other hand, aside from the old, I am writing a new commandment, which is true in him and in you. We saw it in him when we walked with him. It is now true in us because the Spirit of God has changed us, has redeemed us, has made us like unto Christ. And because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining, our lives are improving. We're watching God do a remarkable work. The longer we walk with the Savior, the broader is our love for others. Or that is at least the way it is to be. So it's a new and Christ-related command. But there's another side to this that you must see. And that's verse 9. This is where the Spirit of God pricks us and gets to our conscience. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother or his sister is really in the darkness until now. Everything seems so loving and wonderful and marvelous until we get to the reality of verse 9. See the word hate, miseo, M-I-S-E-O. The Greek term is unequivocal. According to Walter Bauer's fine lexicon, it means to have a strong aversion towards someone, to detest them, to detest them. You say you're in the light, but you have a continued hate list going. Something's wrong with that picture. You're really walking in the darkness. So the third thing I want you to note is that it reveals the darkness of hidden hatred. It reveals the darkness of hidden hatred. This is the ugly side of many in the family of God. John says, no. Don't go there. Hate has no place in the Christian life. You know what has a place here? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. That's the ticket. And you're in for a long siege in ministry if you can't forgive. If you can't look beyond a harsh letter or an ugly comment, you're going to bail out. John's words are for those who ought to know better. Instead of nursing the hatred, how much better to shine the light? So when we get to verse 10, it's all about how we treat our brother and our sister. That's what this is about. Now just do your own self-evaluation, because I don't know many of you. I couldn't direct my words to you, but I wouldn't if I could, because this is for all of us. By the way, I'm so busy with the logs in my own eye, I don't have a lot of room to point to anybody else. How'd you like to be the one preaching this sermon today, huh? Aren't you relieved to know you don't have to? How easy to become a hypocrite in preaching like this. So let's just look at it as though we're all in the same box. The one who loves his brother, verse 10, abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. It means he's not stumbling, struggling, staying awake at night, churning with anxiety, troubled over a guilty conscience, and he's not causing someone else to stumble. So let's let it say that to both sides. The one loving his brother is abiding in the light and is not causing either himself or someone else to stumble. But verse 11, but the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going. His eyes are blinded. He's enveloped in a world of darkness. This happens within him. As a result, he's blinded because of it. This happens to him. What does that mean? Well, his powers of judgment are obscured and twisted. When a name comes up and it's a person he hates, immediately there's a prejudice against that person. Immediately there's a flashback and you remember the one thing that individual did or several things that individual did. So you have no place in your life for him. Wait a minute. That's walking in blindness. The powers of judgment are obscured. Second, the personal prejudice colors responses. Because we have been treated a certain way or we have made up our mind a certain way, it prompts negative thoughts about that individual. And the progress of the church is retarded because of that. How easy to forget the extent of our Savior's love and the proof of it in washing others' feet. How important to remember John's words that love for others is old and an ever-relevant message, a command. It's also a new and Christ-related command, and it reveals the darkness of hidden hatred. It's all about how we treat our brothers and sisters. So how valuable it is for us to acknowledge two things. The first, the benefits of abiding in the light. I want to recommend that to you. I want to recommend that you make it a part of your future to pursue the light. The light. That means we live out our faith without hypocrisy. That means we acknowledge our own struggles and our own inadequacies. Cynthia and I are reading a book together right now. It's a wonderful book. It's called Leading with a Limp, L-I-M-P. Leading with a Limp by Dan Allender. The whole message of the book is that you lead from the point of weakness and inadequacy rather than arrogance and untouchable strength. It's not being afraid to let the truth out that you struggle, that you have failed in some areas, that you have needs that others can help you with, and some that only God can help you with. Leading with a limp. It's a great way to put it. When you walk in the light, you're not afraid to let the limp show. You let it out. You acknowledge it. And second, we need to acknowledge the value of this, the consequences of walking in the darkness. Wow, they are many. We're blinded by our own feelings of hatred, and we cause others to stumble in their walk. You know the illustration that came to me? King Saul and David. David had not done the king any wrong, but Saul was envious of him. His popularity, he was young and muscular and strong and handsome, and he had whipped the giant, and Saul didn't. And Saul began to eye him enviously, and finally his hatred put him on a 12-year search as he hunted and haunted David's life. Dwelling in the darkness, his life was reduced to that. Let me tell you who notices people outside this property. People with whom we do business, people who will never darken the door of a local church, people who watch other Christians operate without Bibles in their hands and without songbooks in front of them, hymnals, when we're living our lives at the everyday run-of-the-mill events of life. Back in 1970, Francis Schaeffer wrote a little book called The Mark of a Christian. It's a wonderful little work. In it, he talks about the one thing that becomes the badge of the believer. I found it interesting what he did not name. It is not an ichthus, the shape of a fish on the back of a car. It isn't a cross hanging around a neck or a well-worn Bible or the ability to quote a number of scriptures. It isn't church activities or the ability to sing or play a musical instrument. It isn't the preaching of a well-crafted sermon. It isn't graduating from a seminary. It is love. It is love. As the world witnesses the love of the believer for another one, and knowing there had to be some forgiveness and understanding and give and take, the world says, I've never seen that before. When the world witnesses the hatred, it's just like the world. Retaliation is the name of the game in the world without Christ. So John pauses at this moment in his letter and says, beloved little children, love one another. I don't have this in my notes of this day, but I do have this in my heart. I want all of you to know how much I love you. I don't want to be maudlin about this. I don't want to be sentimental. I want to be authentic, and I say this. I don't tell you that enough. You don't know what you mean to me. Cynthia's and my lives are enriched because of so many of you. You encourage us in so many ways. You participate in worship. You generously give of your substance to the work of God. You participate in so many of the things that we make known to you, and you do it with such willingness. And you show your love to us and forgiving us. Because let's face it, I'm not that great shakes, you know. If you knew more about me, half of you wouldn't even be here. There are times I just lose it. I just do. And Cynthia could tell you. She's going to write it in the unauthorized biography someday. Other day I was so ticked off, I was driving her car and I hit a curb. Boom! I just kept going. She sat there. What she said is nobody's business. What she could have said, only God knows. I can be very difficult to live with. And our four kids could tell you that. And I'm grateful that they still love us. We have a saying in our home, boy, this is a good day. Two of our four kids like us today. Good as that. I think three do, right? Well, no, two. It's still two. Just kidding. I love our children. I love our family. I love the ministry. I love what I do. And I thank you for understanding, for believing in me, for serving Christ with such vigor and fervency, diligence. You're a wonderful, magnificent model of what a church ought to be. This is an envious place to serve the Savior. I know that. So thank you for serving him. Now I leave with you the importance of loving each other. Now love others as you love us. Just as you love us. That means you have to forgive them. That means you forgive them even before they say, I'm sorry. It isn't a phony forgiveness. It's a gutsy forgiveness. You walk with a limp. The alternative is to be blinded by hatred and to die a cranky old woman or an ornery old man. Surely, life isn't about that. John died late in life with the words on his lips, beloved, love one another. Just say it. Just say, I love you. You want to practice it? Okay, get your lips ready because you haven't said it for a long time. Just kidding. Here we go. I love you. Now, this is going to be real tricky. Look at the person sitting next to you. I know. Go ahead. Look. Now, let's do it again. I love you. How great. Husband and wife just kissed each other back there. Wait, that's not his wife. No, I'm kidding. See, that's not a good comment right there. I love you. If it were 9/11 all over again and you were on the plane and you had the cell phone, that's what you'd say. And you'd also think, why did I wait till now? Why did I wait till now? Don't wait. Say it. Say it often. Let's bow together. You have a Father who loves you, and even though you've run from him and ignored his reaching out to you all these years. He's still there, still waiting patiently for you to come to him. He even invited you to come by giving you his son, and his son has become the magnet of his love to draw us to him. And if you've never, ever come to the Father, taken his son as your Savior, this is your moment. Come now. Thank you, dear Father, for your love for us. We do love you, but that's easy. That's easy. Help us to love others like Jesus loved his 12, even with dirty feet and that competitive spirit. Find in us a spontaneity that is real, just real to the core. Help us to release the things that we've been hanging on to and nursing, the grudges, and to understand that if you're able to love that person, why can't we? Through the power of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for this wonderful place where we learn to love and serve and grow, filled with imperfect people, but people who are learning to walk in the light. Help all of us to do that better. In the Savior's name, I ask it. Everybody said, amen.
The Believer's Badge. That's the title of today's message from Chuck Swindoll. And it's just one of 16 in the complete study of 1 John and the comprehensive series from Insight for Living called Living Right in a Wrong World. Chuck will share a closing comment about 1 John in just a moment, so please stay with us. And if you'd like to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. While many of us are still quarantined at home with extra time on our hands, this has become the perfect time to dig deeper into topics we might otherwise miss. Very recently, one of your fellow listeners wrote to say, "Dear Pastor Swindoll, I'm now sheltered in place in the midst of the pandemic plaguing our world. I determined to begin reading the books that I've had on my bookshelves that went unread while I was commuting and working." And then he proceeds to describe his meaningful engagement in Chuck's book on Moses and how he's applied the biblical principles to his life. Well, this response makes our day because it reinforces the mission of Insight for Living. And we hope it motivates you to take this biblical journey with us, taking our time over the next several weeks to explore 1 John together. Along those lines, I'm pleased to point you to the in-depth commentary for 1 John. In fact, the hardbound volume from Swindoll's Living Insights New Testament Commentary set includes material on 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude as well. To purchase a copy right now, go to insight.org/offer. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Well, Chuck, presenting this series on 1 John has been on your to-do list for a long time.
Well, that's right, Dave. I've wanted to present this study on the New Testament book of 1 John for several years, and I'm delighted the day has finally come. These timeless principles from John speak directly into a season he never imagined, a global pandemic in which all of us find ourselves sequestered from the life we once knew. 1 John is a book about living right in a wrong world. It's a bold case for the dangers of habitual sin and the rewards of faithful obedience. It's a book that takes the grays out of our palate and helps us see the truth in black and white, just as God intended. I can't think of a more relevant book than 1 John. In a world that celebrates shades of gray, where truth has become foggy and relative, and moral values are viewed as an encroachment on personal freedom. At Insight for Living Ministries, we are resolved to amplify John's clean and clear message and accelerate our mission because we believe the time is short. Even during a global pandemic, even when international economies are at risk, we refuse to take our foot off the gas pedal because we believe God is calling us to pursue a countercultural mission, to live right in a wrong world. For these reasons, I'm not bashful, and I'm certainly not apologetic about calling on you to join us. Yep, I know some are unable to give right now. I understand that. But gratefully, many of you are able to give. Here's the bottom line. This daily program with you, along with Vision 195 as our goal to reach all 195 countries of the world with Insight for Living, is wholly dependent on partners like you to contribute financially. So, as you sense God's prompting your spirit to join us, please send a generous donation before the June 30 deadline, okay? Your partnership will make all the difference in the world. Thanks so much.
And you can respond right now by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. To give a donation online, go to insight.org. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll presents what he calls Strong Talk on the Cosmos, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Believer's Badge, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.